When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
What's up, everybody? It's another Thursday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. It's Haley, Max, and Sean, the final show before the playoffs start. Round one, game ones have been set for Saturday and Sunday in the Eastern Conference. We don't know a few of the Western Conference matchups yet because there are a few games still on the schedule for Thursday night. But we're here, and this week we're going to do a bit of a playoff preview with the series that we know. For the series that we don't know, just hope and pray that Ian and Laz talk about them on Monday or read the series previews from Sean and Dom and Shayna.
They're all totally done and everything's going great. Definitely don't have to write two more of them as soon as we hang up here. Everything's good.
Ugh. But how are you supposed to write them when they're not all set? Like, it's fine.
Like, we're on schedule with doing all these. It's just, it's like kind of a 4-day sprint. I've had enough of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Max is having a different experience because it's Red Wings locker clean out day. Is that right, Max?
That is.
How devastating. Wow, thanks for the insight.
Way to go. Jesus.
How devastating. Like, and not devastating for you because you're not a fan, right? But like, were you tracking that Flyers game? Like, when the Red Wings tie it with seconds left in the game again in dramatic fashion, clearly nobody tells John Tortorella or the Flyers, because then they pull their goalie with 3 minutes left, the Caps score. That just was like a crazy 5 minutes. Like, were you tracking all of that? I assume
it was
in between
wild.
OT.
Well, I didn't go to Montreal. The last minute flights were unsurprisingly not doable.
Oh, it's foul to try to fly to Montreal. I just had this conversation the other day.
Yeah, especially day of. So
yeah.
So I'm watching on my couch, and the Red Wings broadcast kept the Capitals Flyers score in the bottom right corner the entire game, and it was still sitting at 1-1. And so we're watching and. You know, David Perron scores with like 3.3 seconds left to tie the game and send it to OT, which is enough to keep the Red Wings alive temporarily. And then Allison, I think, maybe on Twitter, or maybe she had ESPN notifications or something, goes like, Boston just scored. I was like, okay, well, that's that. And then she told me how it happened. Oh. She was like, oh, it was an empty netter. And I was like, oh, it was. Because people have been talking about that for, you know, a day, that like, hey, this can happen. And it, from the second I heard that, I knew that my readership was going to be unhappy, because that's a really tough way to see your season end.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I got to prepare emotionally for this. I love hockey, Allison.
Yeah. She came late to it, but I think I think it's growing on her.
We talked to Frankie about it yesterday because he was in the building. He was doing the games. He was doing the game on the Habs side of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to turn it. We talked about the Red Wings yesterday a lot. Like, that was a big chunk, and a bunch of people got mad because there was some Yzerman criticism levied, largely more intensely by McIntyre, honestly. But Frankie, like, he said there were like a couple instances in the third period where there were like inexplicable stoppages. Not inexplicable, but like, just they lost a minute, you know, to some goofy play stoppage here, and then there was some time there. So it's like, we're going through this. It's like, man, if there was just two minutes to spare, you know, in some alternate universe, stuff turns out much, much differently.
Yeah, I mean, the one that Red Wings fans are having a hard time letting go of was the goal that got the play got stopped on while the puck is levitating in midair and ends up dropping down, hitting a stick and going to the net, but it's too late. Too. And that one is the one that I think in Detroit is seared in people's minds.
Yeah, after all of the preseason conversations about who's going to make the playoffs, the Sens, the Red Wings, or the Sabres, not sure how many people were picking the Red Wings to start the season. I think everyone was saying that Detroit was like a little bit behind Ottawa and Buffalo, if I remember some of those conversations correctly. Sens and Sabres fire both their coaches. I was kind of surprised about Don Granato getting let go. I thought, you know, he would maybe have like an extra year, but we don't need to get into that. And the Sens fire DJ Smith, and the Red Wings are the only ones that get close. But at the end of the day, none of them make it. Again, still one more day left of the regular season. East playoff matchups are set. Round one, game one schedule is officially out. We'll do like a quick headline roundup here before getting into the previews. Islanders at Canes Saturday at 5 o'clock. Leafs at Bruins Saturday at 8. Tampa at Florida. Battle of Sunshine State Sunday at 12:30. Washington at New York Sunday at 3. All those times are in Eastern. So I know what I'm doing this weekend. There's also a PWHL game on Saturday at 1 o'clock. So if you want to start your hockey day early, there's going to be like 21,000 fans at that game between Toronto and Montreal. So pretty good hockey weekend. Other headlines to wrap up quickly here. The Dallas Stars clinched the Western Conference last night. So that kind of triggered the second matchup in the Western Conference that we're now aware of, which is Nashville versus Vancouver. And the Arizona Coyotes played their final game last night at Mullet Arena. There was t-shirts. They did one of those whiteouts. They actually beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-2. Do you guys, I know we had a big conversation about Arizona last episode, and I think one of the commenters said it was all very depressing for them. So I'm very sorry. So we can make this brief. Do you guys just have a thought on the final game in Arizona that was played last night? By the way, Alex Marullo, not in the building? Question mark, exclamation mark.
He's moved on to Ogdenville. Time to sell monorails to towns all through the region. I'm glad that yesterday turned into a roast of Alex Marullo. I'm glad it turned into a roast of Coyotes ownership, because they're the ones that deserve this. Like, they're the ones that deserve to get dragged and clowned and made fun of publicly, and also they're the ones that deserve all the smoke. They're the ones that deserve all the anger and the criticism. When teams move, professional sports teams move, it's a failure of ownership. It's not a failure of the municipalities. It's not a failure by the city. It's not a failure by the fan base. This is a failure by the billionaire that owns the Arizona Coyotes. Is he? I mean, whatever. He doesn't behave like one. We know that. But I'm glad that it felt like everything crystallized where it needed to, and that people finally have their, you know, have their scope kind of focused in the right direction. Like, it is this guy's fault that things have played out the way that it has. And I think there were times in the past where maybe, you know, that wasn't quite as obvious as it needed to be. Like, be mad at that guy. That's why this failed. And I think the way he's behaved publicly over the last couple of weeks, whether it's the kid who's running the social media accounts, tweeting all kinds of pathetic out of pocket nonsense day after day, deleted another one last night, by the way. The Coyotes from their main account. This is Alex Marullo's son. He's tweeting, "See you on June 27th, which is the day that they're doing the land auction." That was something they tweeted last night.
Read the room.
When there's people crying in the stands and crying on the ice, that kid can't get out of, you know, PR fail son mode. Like, it's pathetic, right? Yeah. So I'm glad that happened last night. I'm glad that it seemed like it was a cathartic event for Arizona fans. There were a bunch of ex-players back there. And I'm glad that the ownership group really, really took some smoke and people realized that they were the problem. And you just hope, beyond hope, that if and when hockey comes back to Arizona, that they're not involved with it. Like I'm rooting desperately for somebody else to get the naming rights and get the arena deal done if that's what happens, because they shouldn't be involved.
I agree completely. That is the biggest thing I'm watching, is that it now seems inevitable that hockey is going to go back to Arizona at some point. That's not going to be an Atlanta situation where it's like, yeah, is it? It seems like we can pretty confidently say it will be back. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how, you know, okay, an arena helps, I guess, but the same owner being in charge here is not going to give that program the best chance at success. It's just not.
And we know why that this is structured the way that it is, that we can guess why Alex Marullo has right of refusal basically for all this. That's fine. Like, understandable. I get why the league, you know, structured this situation the way that they did, but I hope it doesn't work out for them. I hope someone else owns that team and runs that team in 5 years or 6 years or 4 years or however long it takes. He shouldn't be involved. And I think the way he's behaved and the way that ownership group has behaved over the last week or two, on top of the way they behaved for years and years before that, is like proof positive example 1A that they need to get out.
The only silver lining I see on the way that this is going down for the Coyotes the last week or two is that it's not the way it's going down for like the Oakland A's, where it's this mm-hmm. long drawn out process where everyone's kind of watching you. You're going to move to Sacramento for a couple years before they take your team away. I know Coyotes fans have every right to be absolutely livid. The only thing I'm grateful for is that it didn't play out like that for them, which is mm-hmm. a very small silver lining, I realize. But that's mm-hmm. the one thing I was thinking about.
Totally.
For sure. I think Craig Morgan, who's obviously covered this team for a really long time, and like that's a difficult, I think obviously like first and foremost, a lot of people think about the fans, but there's like people not just within the organization, but like people in that mm-hmm. stratosphere who are going to lose their jobs or in a, you know, big period of uncertainty in their lives now. And he had a really great piece that just came out this morning just about how the Coyotes experience has always been about the community that they built, the hockey community that was built in the desert. And I think like a big problem to Sean's point is that Marullo like never really got the trust or like properly tapped into that. Like it's really seemed like the stakeholders or just people in like various levels of government were just like done, you know, like mm-hmm. there were just people who were like, we're not interested in working with you on this. So it seemed like an emotional game. Obviously you get some of the scenes from TV, but it's not the same if you're not there watching it. I think Chris Johnson was there for us, so we'll see if he mm-hmm. has something up. If he did yet, I haven't read it. I'm sorry, CJ, but just an emotional time. And I hope when hockey returns to the desert that fans, you know, get the kind of team and atmosphere and building that they deserve, because like it should work, you know, it really mm-hmm. should with the right people. I went to a game at Mullet and it was really fun. But it was very clear. I was like, this can't be it. So
yeah, this is,
do you have one more point, Sean?
You can't stay in the lifeboat for five seasons. Like that's what, like we've said it before. We that's the way it worked. But I did want to say, like, I saw that, you mentioned Craig Morgan. I did see that PHNX Sports, which is, you know, mm-hmm. the outlet he works for and that
yep.
a bunch of his colleagues work for, they said that they're going to keep them on as, you know, as employees, which is good. I hope that works out, because Craig's a good dude who covered that team like nobody else. And
I was a paid subscriber with them for a while. Like that was the only mm-hmm. place to get good Coyotes.
The only place to
get the when I was doing a daily radio show, I was like, well, I need Coyote stuff. And like when all this stuff that was happening and with their new build last year that didn't end up happening, I was like, this is the only way I'm going to get it. So
completely.
Pay for local journalism. Because mm-hmm. it's valuable. So I was paying for that sub for a while. Okay, so a few more headlines. Oh, Max, you have a quick one?
Just to wrap yeah. here, like the real twist of the knife on this is that in the final game, you know, obviously the game doesn't matter for the Oilers. They win. I'm happy they won. It's kind of brutal that Dylan Guenther gets another two-point game and how good he has mm-hmm. looked and Logan Cooley has looked down the stretch. Like just as these guys, they waited forever to have like something like this, and they're yeah. getting there. Boot and Simashev won't be that far behind, and they're going to do it in Salt Lake. That was such a twist of the knife for me.
I mean, yeah. Dylan Guenther has what, 18 goals, I think now. I believe it was 18
in like 45 games
in like half a season. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
It's like there's things to be excited about on the ice for this team. And now it's like, okay, actually, we don't. The fans who waited years are like, okay, I'll watch you on TV potentially with Salt Lake City.
It's Sonics vibes, right? Like, it's like you get KD and he's going somewhere else to do it. It's brutal. Yeah.
Future Utah Stingers all-star Dylan Gunther.
Ooh. Yeah. It sucks because I wouldn't blame fans for saying, like, nope, not going to watch that team ever.
I wouldn't either.
Similar thing in women's hockey, right? Boston Pride go away. And it's just like, you know what? We can say all we want about the PWHL being great, but I actually hate everything about this. Like, you can't blame fans for that visceral reaction.
People get alienated.
Uh-huh, for sure. Okay, so Kucherov hits 100 assists last night. That's the other note here. The fifth player in NHL history to ever do it, and the second this season. So he joins Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and Connor McDavid. McDavid, obviously, is the one who did it this season. It was on a setup on the power play for Braden Point in that game against the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. He leads the NHL in points. The stat line is crazy. It's 44 goals and 100 assists. And that's kind of wild. And I don't think that many people are going to give him a first place ballot in the Hart Trophy. And then Matthews, he does not hit. I know we don't want to turn this into a Hart thing because it's supposed to be a playoff preview. But I have not talked to that many people who are like, rah, rah, Kucherov for Hart.
I know one person who is.
Yeah, Wish wrote a big article about it on ESPN.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did a 45-minute radio hit on Sportsnet in Toronto where the host was just trying to convince me that Austin Matthews should win the Hart. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to have these conversations on the radio because I have a ballot. But like, I've been Team McKinnon for a while here, but sure, you make a great point. Matthews does not hit 70 goals. I honestly wonder if some Hart Trophy balloters end up saying like, 70 was a nice round number. You only got to 69, so I'm going to vote for McKinnon or Kucherov instead. It's like you.
I filed my ballot before the game, so I can't be accused of such round number fixation.
Oh, be careful! Be careful what you say.
What?
Don't talk too much about your ballot there, Max.
No, that's fair.
No, that's what I said. I was like, I don't think I'm allowed to be having this conversation on like national radio. I might.
There's enough ballots out there. Whatever. People can know what I'm doing.
No. Be very, very, very careful.
Sacred special thing. Now I basically can't vote for Austin Matthews because it would look like I just got swayed on the radio for it.
Here's my question for you guys. Speaking of the round number thing. Oh, I'm going to get crushed for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go.
Do it.
So McDavid became the fourth player to hit 100 assists. Kucherov became the fifth player to hit 100 assists. Any part of you feel like the fact that they did it in the same year cheapens it at all? And it just speaks to a trend in the game?
100%. Because I think that ends up either helping like the Matthews or the McKinnons of the world, right? Because it's like, oh, well, Connor McDavid hit 100, but like so did Kucherov.
It just feels like the game is hitting an offensive peak again. And that's fine. Like it's not like I'm not looking at the points for all of these guys. But as I was thinking about like the 100 assists, talking about, you know, what do you think I should do with somebody I respect? They were like, you know, I don't think McDavid's getting enough love for 100 assists. And I was like, is he not? Because Kucherov's doing the same thing. Like how much higher can it go? Right. I don't know.
I think in general, it doesn't soften it because like when we are just having a conversation, we can say like, wow, that's unbelievable. But within the context of a Hart Trophy, it's like, well,
it's not a differentiator.
So like, you're not really that special, are you?
Yeah, it's not a differentiator to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he is that special, right? They're all
I think everybody has their own definition of what is the most valuable and everybody has their own, like, well, I think that like, it can become subjective, right? It's like, is Austin Matthews more valuable because he scores goals more than anybody has this year? It's like, and then, you know, you're having the conversation. If you had 18 more goals than Nathan McKinnon, but it's like McKinnon scored 51 and he has more points. So it just becomes like almost subjective and what the voters find more value in. And I do think some people will see the like 100 assists each and go, eh, like they both did it. So whatever. What, Sean? Why are you shaking your head?
We've talked about the Hart stuff too much. Like I feel like that's
Hart vote in years. We gotta do
I don't
that.
mean I don't mean us. I mean just in general. It's too much of a.
You may as well have just told Max and I to shut up.
No, I think it's a fine like we're having a fine discussion here, but it's everyone
else is being annoying.
It's everyone else is annoying except for us. Honestly, that's usually the way it goes.
At least we're being honest and saying Austin Matthews is a bum for only scoring 16
goals. He stinks. That's the main thing.
And Kucherov and McDavid, like, that's so boring. You scored 100 assists in the same year. Like, come on.
Do 120, you losers.
Yeah, that's a joke. 144 points.
Kidding.
You'll be third on my ballot. I'm just joking.
Is she joking, though?
Be careful.
Everyone's going to just rip the shit out of my ballot once it becomes public for transparency.
It'll be good, and B, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I haven't sent my ballot in yet because it's not due until Friday, and I refuse to send a ballot in early because I need all of the time that I can to agonize over this decision. Anyways, let's take a break because we said this was going to be a playoff preview show, and then we just talked for 20 minutes about the Coyotes, and they deserve it. We stand with you, Coyotes fans. We'll be right back on the Athletic Hockey Show.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When you're trying to grow a business, the caliber of person you bring in to help you do that is really important. And LinkedIn makes it really easy to interview the right people for the role, quality people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/NHL show. That's linkedin.com/NHL show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
As promised, it's time for the playoff preview. Again, we don't know all of the series. We'll start with East now. And then Max is going to leave because he hates the Western Conference and he doesn't stay up for the games.
Among other things, yeah.
No, it's locker cleanout day. Don't yell at Max. He loves staying up to watch the Vancouver Canucks specifically.
I'm a late night. Ask Sean. I'm a late night guy. Okay. I almost ruined Sean's week last week, keeping him out too late in Pittsburgh.
That's not true. Oh, is that when Sean ate that really big sandwich and was like grumpy the next day on the show?
That's precisely when.
People from Pittsburgh will know, I ate a fathead sandwich. I ate two in like 10 days or something. I'm still
with killer sauce. And he didn't think that would affect him. The killer sauce didn't flag
didn't
in his brain.
I think that the killer sauce was going to be spicy is what concerns me the most. Like, what
sweating,
did you think
literally that? Sweating as I was eating. I wish Max would have taken a picture. Honestly, we could have shared it with the listeners. Alas.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start with the Eastern Conference, and I'll just open it up here to start. We already set the round one, game one schedule. What series are you guys the most excited to watch? Because we'll start there.
For me, I think it's Leafs Bruins. I think this was the, it's got the history element to it that I think makes a lot of Leaf fans uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I look at the way it matches up and I kind of thinking I'm going to take the Leafs in this one. Mm-hmm. I really like the star power advantage that they have at the top. Boston's been, you know, living on the edge here. They're obviously a high seed here. They had a great season. There's a lot of loser points mixed in there. It would not shock me if the Leafs take this one in six games.
I just think the idea of the Bruins alternating goalies in the playoffs is wonderful to me. Because it's like, are they going to do it? How about this? I had to write this preview last night. How many times do you think the Bruins didn't alternate goaltenders this season? Period. How many times do you think one of those guys made two consecutive starts?
12. Six.
Four.
Damn.
And they haven't done it since February. Like, wow. They might have to do it just because that's how they do things. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to deviate from the norm so
but
dramatically.
But it's clearly
like,
worked for them. So what's the problem?
I just think it's crazy. I don't think it's bad or wrong. I just think it's nuts. And what if Linus Ulmer comes out and throws whatever, a 36 save and 38 shots game at the Leafs, are you really going to go back to Swayman? Like, yeah. Do you have the stomach to do that? I kind of hope that's what we see. Hmm. And then the other bit that I found when we were researching the preview, Charlie McAvoy against Austin Matthews. That was like something we picked as our key matchup without doing any preemptive research or anything like that.
Yeah,
we just
like
figured,
best player,
you know,
versus number one.
Yep.
D.
Yep. Simple enough. Matthews' numbers against McAvoy in 23 minutes against the ice or 23 minutes on the ice against him this season were so comically lopsided that I thought they were fake. Like, I looked at them and thought that natural stat, like I highlighted the wrong column in natural stat trick or whatever. Legitimately amazing. The Leafs out attempted the Bruins 40-10, outshot them 19-3, outchanced them 25-2, and one expected goals 2.5 to 0.3.
And how many actual goals were scored, though,
crazy.
Sean?
Just the one.
Yeah.
Because they have Linus Ulmer, have Jeremy Swayman in particular, who was great against the Leafs. That's the other wrinkle. Mm-hmm. This series fascinates me, and I'm like all in on it. It's embarrassing because it's a basic choice to make, right? We're like, oh, Maple Leafs, Bruins, whatever. I don't care. This one's going to rule.
It's going to be great. The first round is always the best. Like, I always feel like the letdown after the first round of the playoffs is so boring because I just, like, it's, I will just sit on the couch and watch hockey for days in the first round of the playoffs. And after that, I'm just like, I don't know if I care as much. And this matchup is going to be one of the better ones. And everyone's going to be like so normal about it too. Totally. Like, no matter what happens, we're going to get a completely, completely normal reaction from everybody. But I think what makes this so great, like, is the history, but also how close this matchup is expected to be. According to Dom's model, the Bruins have the slight edge, 53% chance at winning versus 47% chance at winning against the Leafs. And the projection shows that it's either going to be Bruins in seven or Leafs in six. Those are the highest likely odds, which is just going to be excruciating for Jeff and my dad specifically. Max,
this is a big series for Mitch Marner. 1 year out from his contract expiring, going into the summer where he's extension eligible. He had a better playoffs last year. I think that was very important. Better first round last year.
But crucial specification there. It's true. It's completely true.
Absolutely. And very important. I think this is a huge series for him. And I think if he can have another big, obviously the Leafs probably aren't going to be satisfied with one more series win here. They want to go deeper than that, but yeah, for Mitch Marner in particular, do it against the Bruins, have another big series, another big playoffs. I don't think anyone has more at stake in this series individually than Mitch Marner.
For sure. And I think for just the Leafs in general too, right? Like this is kind of the pivotal off season. Everyone always likes to say that last year was the year before that, but this is the year that where they go in with Tavares and Marner with 1 year left on their deals. They're extension eligible. They're 1 year away from UFA status. Like if you're going to shake it up in a big way, it's going to be either this summer or next, right? And next summer, obviously, with the unrestricted free agency. So this should be the big offseason that everybody was talking about. I think what's interesting about this series is like I was a bit more of like a, I don't even know the right word because like I'm not a Leafs fan, but I was definitely more doom and gloom. Like I know that sounds like such a fandom term, but I was definitely more like doom and gloom about the Leafs around the trade deadline. It was like this team has like more problems than they can fix with trade deadline acquisitions. Like I don't think this is a true contender this season. Da 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 da. And the Leafs played their best hockey in the second half of the season. Like I definitely like ate my words a little bit in the second half of the year. Whereas the Bruins kind of started to limp down in the second half. So it went from this, like, how are the Bruins this good again? And wow, the Leafs are like really not doing much for me, to a little bit of a mix of like, okay, the Leafs look a lot better. There's a lot more things going well. I still have questions about their blue line. I have all season. I don't really like the mix that they have. And whereas the Bruins, like, okay, how good are the Bruins actually? And you never want to put that out into the universe because the Bruins have shown time and time again that they can, well, I guess maybe not last year, but the Bruins have historically shown, at least against the Maple Leafs, that like, yeah, they are pretty good and they can win the series. But that's just what makes this series so compelling to me, is that both teams kind of did a bit of a switch there for me of like, oh, so now I don't know what to believe.
That's why they play the games, baby. Love it.
Leafs and six. That's my pick.
Leafs and six. Love it. Okay. And then we get to all endure another, starting now. The clock starts now. I'm sure the stories are already posted everywhere. For the next several weeks, we get to read stories about the Leafs exercising their playoff demons. Let's go.
Until they lose. Just think of that or whatever.
Did I just think of that?
Yeah,
I actually pitched that story myself in the Leafs channel, and everyone's like, oh my God, that's such a good idea.
Wow, way to go.
Done that yet? I say this with all love and respect to beat writers. You're just doing your job. But I don't have to do that anymore. Florida-Tampa. Let's go to the Battle of the Sunshine State. What do we think about this series? Is it going to be close? Are the Panthers just going to...
I think this one might be a dud.
Oh.
I think it's going to be... That? I think it should be super fun because of the rivalry, but are the Panthers just going to run through them?
I think it's possible. If Vasilevskiy's
the fans
not,
are going to hate me because I just dumped on Kucherov and now their team. I'm just playing host. I'm just asking the question. I'll hang up and listen.
If Vasilevskiy's not good, they're in trouble because I think the Panthers have enough offensive ability mix, especially in. I look at this lineup and I'm like, Matthew Tkachuk is gonna get Nick Perbix and Eric Chernak minutes or something. Like I just don't think they have outside of the Hedman pair, really. I don't think they have the horses at 5-on-5 to hang with the Panthers. Those are famous last words. Like whatever. Hate counting out the Lightning. But right. I don't like what their second, third pairings look like at all. And I think against Florida, that's a major, major problem because, again, you have basically four elite players, if you count Carter Verhaeghe, and it's like pick your poison. You can't play Hedman and Darren Radish against, you know, you can't play them 45 minutes a night. Like some elite player, whether it's the Barkov line or the Tkachuk line, is going to get a steady diet of Hayden Fleury or something, and it just doesn't seem like it's gonna work.
It's more just a credit to the Panthers lineup that like Bill Zito built and the way that Paul Maurice has made this team play that we're saying that Tampa's gonna be have a tough time, right? It's not that we think Tampa's not good. It's just I think the Panthers are we've been saying it. We've been thinking that the Panthers are one of the best teams in the league and one of the most fun to watch. They play like a really fun style of game, but also a very good lockdown style. They've got guys that can take over a game, but so does Tampa. And I think that's mm-hmm. what ends up making this entertaining. Like, I do think the juice that's going to be there in the playoffs between like these two teams, like there's going to be a lot of hype around it. I do think it'll end up being a fun series. I don't think it'll be a dud. Max, I think you think the same thing because you were kind of surprised when Sean said it might be a dud.
Yeah, I think Tampa has elite special teams. They have the league's best power play. They have a top five penalty kill, and mm-hmm. they have a goalie who, even in a slightly down year by his standards, is a top 3 to 5 goalie in the NHL, and on any given night can be the clear best goalie in the NHL.
If they get the version of Vasilevskiy that they got for the last month, you know, I'm going to end up looking stupid, right? But I don't know. They're relying on him a lot. Sergachev being Sergachev skating non-contact. There's like everybody's wondering if maybe the series goes 6 or 7. Maybe we see him. That would be really interesting, and like that'd be amazing. Yeah. A and B, you know, I would take 80% Mikhail Sergachev in my lineup, especially with what they're working with otherwise, like 100 times out of 100.
This is a sneaky huge series because I think Tampa is one of the toughest matchups for Florida that Florida could potentially face at any point, right? I think Florida is probably my favorite in the East, but if there's a team that can knock them off, it just happens to be the team that they draw in the first round. It's mm-hmm. because of those special teams. It's because of who that is in that goal. If the Panthers get through this series fairly cleanly, I really like their path. I think mm-hmm. the toughest obstacle is at the very beginning.
I think what we're seeing happen in this conversation is like the hype train around the Panthers, particularly after last season, and almost like a bit of Tampa Bay Lightning goes the cup final fatigue, right? Fatigue. Like it's almost like when people are like, well, yeah, we're dumping on McDavid. We weren't actually, but it's like, you know, there's voter fatigue with McDavid in the heart, right? So I think we're seeing a similar thing with people being like, okay. And I think it's matching up with the fact that the team hasn't been as good as has it been in the past. But like, we're still talking about a Tampa team that finished with 98 points this season. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not a bad team. I think it's just like, hey, we've been talking about them like they're gods for 6 years now. Like, let's flip the switch and like hype up Florida instead. But like the reality is we've been talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning like they're God's gift to the earth for 5-6 years because of the results that they've had. So it's stupid to count them out, but I do prefer the Panthers lineup top to bottom, right? But there's a lot of X factors that Tampa has that could make this a really fun series. The other two series in the East that are going to be interesting, like Rangers, Caps. It's the President's Trophy winners versus a team that got outscored by 37 goals this season. I'm sorry.
That'll do it.
Rude. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
Maybe it'll end up being spicy and fun. Maybe.
It'll be the Caps are going to win 2 overtime games in this series, and then lose the other 4 by 19 aggregate goals or something. Like that's just the way they roll.
It's fun that they made it. Like we were saying, does anybody want to make the playoffs? And the Caps did it. So we're not going to spend too much time on that series because we got to get Max out of here in a few minutes.
I am psyched to see that. I want to reiterate, though, this is a cool story because this is a team that 100%. By all accounts should not have made it. They have an all-time great at the top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. They have a rookie coach who's like managed to push the right buttons, you know, at the right times. And they have
Charlie Lindgren. Big enough story this season, by the way.
I don't think so. And in Charlie Lindgren, they have like the classic 30-year-old, you know, journeyman goaltender who comes in I hate to say that he's gotten hot because he's been really good for about 90% of the season now. I love the story. I can't take it any farther than that intellectually, at least.
Yeah, it's a great story. Spencer Carberry, obviously, like great first year.
Impressive dude.
Really, really great hire, very clearly. And I don't know if we've had that conversation enough this season.
Can I give you guys Charlie Lindgren's performances against the New York Rangers this season?
Oh, no.
Let's hit it.
31 save shutout in a victory. 25 out of 27 in a victory. And 29 out of 31 in a loss.
Dang.
He has been tough for the New York Rangers to solve. He's been tough for everybody to solve, but he has, he's 2-1 against them. The Capitals are 2-1 against them with Charlie Lindgren in goal. It's going to be interesting.
We're getting an Alex Ovechkin cup chase because of Charlie Lindgren.
No. I think pretty the good. Rangers probably take this one, but I think that I don't think this is a sweep. Hot take.
It's about right. Yeah. Wow. Max says Rangers in 5. Ballsy, baby.
No, I could see this one in I think I'd probably take it in 5. I could see it doing 6, but I think 5.
Okay. So we left the Canes Islanders series for last. This is an interesting series, I guess, for me, because I think the Canes are the team to beat in the East. As much as I love the Dear Panthers, I can't help myself with Carolina because I think this is the deepest Canes team that they've had through this current window of contention that they've been in, right? Last year, we've talked about a Canes Islanders series before, right? But I think what makes this one different is I don't think many people are saying, like, whoa, look out for the Islanders. Like, they just had to get in and they could make some noise. Like, I think the Islanders are always going to be the team that people talk about in that way because of their defensive style. And if Sorokin has a good series, anything can happen. But I just don't see it.
Or Varlamov.
Right. Varlamov's been great. Like, that's why they brought him back as their backup. That's been a really good tandem the last few years, right? But I don't see that happening this year. Something disastrous would need to happen with Carolina this season for them to lose this series, because they won this series last year without Svechnikov, without Pacioretty. And this year they've got healthy Svech, they've got Aho, Jake Guentzel, Seth Jarvis is having a great season, Teravainen's been better, Natchez has been better, they have Kuznetsov on their fourth line, you've still got the Slavin Burns top pair, Brady Shea, Brett Pesce. By the way, they still have Orlov on their third pair. Like, there's so much depth in Carolina this season. Like, top to bottom in that lineup, that something crazy would need to happen for them to lose in the first round. Did I just jinx them? I don't know.
Probably.
But I am on the Canes hype train.
Yeah. Let's go. I would love to look at this series and say Carolina doesn't have a goaltender. You look out for the Islanders. Honestly, the Hurricanes haven't had a goaltender all season. They've given up the fourth fewest goals in the NHL. So I just
Freddie Anderson's been unbelievable since he came back too. Like him returning from the blood clot, his, like, it really does seem like it's solidified the situation. I don't have the stats in front
Did
of
you
me,
just
but
cut
he,
Max off in the middle of his sentence.
No, I didn't.
I don't want it to be. I didn't realize how good Freddie Anderson.
I did not know that either. That was news to me as you said it, and I
until
looked it up
I'd,
and, damn.
Until I'd started writing the preview. He's like top 5 in save percentage and goals saved against average, goals saved above expected since he came back. So he's been unbelievable. That, to me, that's like the variable, right? Is you have that question has been answered after going 3/4 of the season wondering what the goaltending was going to look like. And now it's like, if that dude keeps playing like this, they are a problem.
950. It's 951. Sorry. Yep. In his last 10 games. That's crazy. I did not know that.
Not a ton of games, but man, if he can give him something like that consistently, oof.
Yeah.
Question answered.
And I think with the Islanders too, like, they've got a pretty similar roster that they've had in this matchup or in the postseason over the last few years. So I think the big question for New York is just going to be, like, can the Patrick Waugh effect continue, right? Because obviously he's done a great job since taking over that team. The Islanders have been much better, and yeah, they get Metro 3. So I think that's the big question for the Islanders. I don't think anyone's writing them off. I think it's just more like, this is a very good Canes team.
Yeah, man. Sometimes, someone has to be the favorite in these matchups and people lose their minds over it, but that's just the way it goes. Like, everything about the Canes' performance, everything they've done this regular season, like, it counts. It counts when it comes time to actually make these picks. It's just the way it goes.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to get Max out of here because it's locker clean out day. And Sean and I will come back with a Western Conference preview of the 2 matchups that we are aware of. That'll be next on the Athletic Hockey Show. All right, welcome back to the show. Max has left us. So if you don't like Sean and I solo, this is your time to turn off the pod.
My Max left me. good.
My Mac? I didn't say that.
My wife left me. That was a much of my wife left me joke.
I don't understand those jokes.
Pretty funny. Yeah, they're not. Because you know what? Because they're not funny.
Why does everyone always say it? Like, where did that come from?
It's just like a Twitter reply joke from 5 years ago that people can't let go.
But why?
Don't make me explain it. I don't know.
I don't understand.
Because it's a crazy thing to say in the Twitter replies to Elliot tweeting about, you know, whatever, insider stuff. It's jarring to open up the replies and see someone be like, I'd be like, oh, the Board of Governors will have a 3 o'clock call today. And then you look at the first reply and it says, my wife left me.
It's oh.
Supposed to be funny. It's not.
No, I don't think so. Not. What a waste of time that was. No. This is why people prefer Max, because he keeps everything on track. If Max was here, he'd just be like deadpan staring at us to be like, are we going to talk about Nashville, yeah, Colorado now, you freaking idiots?
We can.
Yeah, we can. So Winnipeg, Colorado, and Vancouver, Nashville are the only playoff series that are set right now. Let's start with Jets, Avs. Colorado are the favorites in Dom's model right now, but not by much. Winnipeg also has home ice advantage after finishing higher. I actually think this series is going to be better than some people are making it out to be. I feel like there's a lot of people who are just going like, yeah, Avs are going to cream them, like whatever, like see in round two for Colorado. But like, I like this matchup a lot. Again, like Winnipeg does have home ice advantage. They finished higher in the standings. I think this is going to be interesting because Colorado has the better star power, as we've discussed on the show a lot throughout the season when we're just looking at the Western Conference, the playoff contenders, da da da. But like the goalie gap between Hellebuck and Georgiev is going to be a thing too, right? Like that's going to be a huge storyline. The Jets are a really stingy defensive team as well, which could make for a really interesting matchup that I just don't think people are giving the Jets enough credit for, right?
Totally. Georgiev might be a problem. Mm-hmm. Frankie and DGB and I talked about this for a second yesterday. I think people have it in their head that the Avs can win with whatever goaltender they roll out there for some reason. I don't know why, because Darcy Kemper was really good during the playoffs for them. And Alexander Georgiev has been pretty good in the playoffs for them. Crucially, he's been a lot better in the past than he has been right now. Like he is a below average goaltender in save percentage. He's like break even on goals saved above expected. He's been really bad the last 10 games or so. It's an issue. The Jets aren't scaring a ton of people with the amount of offensive firepower they have in that lineup, but they have enough. They added Toffoli at the deadline, which was big.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a lot of defensive ability up and down that lineup, and they have whatever, one of the two or three best goaltenders on the planet right now. Like they're going to have a chance. Now, does that mean that is it still possible for the Jets to have, you know, a power outage and just whatever, and this ends up not delivering on the hype? Like, yeah, of course it is all the time, but that's always possible. But man, there's a lot about the matchup here that suggests that it's going to be a good one. I'm psyched about it. I'm much more excited about an Avs Jets series than on April 18th than I thought I would have been in October or February or March.
The Jets are also 3-0 against the Avs this season, mm-hmm. and they have a 7-0 win against
them last week. Yep.
Right. So, and again, that's a small sample and it's regular season. We know that there's guys like Nathan MacKinnon who can turn on the Jets when it matters most, as he's done down the stretch, which is why there's people who have really gone in on Nathan MacKinnon for the heart, certain people that we're not allowed to discuss. But I think that's going to make this an entertaining series. Like, I genuinely think that this series other than the Leafs Bruins really does just feel like a coin flip for me. Like I think that I think the Avs could lose in the first round or make it all the way to the cup final, you know? And the Jets, I think can win this series as well. Like we're not saying that this is a Connor Hellebuck team, but Connor Hellebuck is on the team.
Like it's okay,
when people talk about this, like goaltending matters. And we're not like, I have been very clear throughout like this show this season. Like I've been more bullish, I think, on the Jets than you and Max have been, being like, it's not just a Hellebuck team, but like Hellebuck is on the team and he is one of the best goalies to like play this game in the last 10 years, 20 years. I don't know how to, you know, exactly say that, but like, it's the same thing with the Tampa Bay Lightning too, of like, the power play matters, you know? Like, I think there's a lot of people who look at Tampa or they look at Kucherov and it's like, well, he has a lot of power play points. Like, the power play matters. They don't get rid of the power play in the postseason. Like, how many teams lose playoff series because their special teams or their goalies are crap? So that's just my little rant on things like that. Obviously, 5-on-5 matters with a lot of underlying numbers, and you can get more trends based on 5-on-5 and the skaters in front of the goalie, but the power play and the goalie matter. So that's just my mini rant.
It's okay for your goalie to be your best player. And that's true for the Jets. Where they've pivoted here is like they're a much better 5-on-5 team than they have been in the past because of, you know, defensive ability, basically. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with winning games that way. And they've been really good at it. And the Avs depth also might be an issue. Like they need Casey Middlestead to find his game a bit. They're gonna need So one of those guys in the middle six to pop off a little bit, because you know it's a top heavy team. So I'm excited to watch this one.
Yeah. And then the other series is Vancouver Nashville. This one was locked in yesterday. What do we think? The Preds have been a fun story. Is this one of those ones where like the Preds are a get in and see what they can do, or is this just Vancouver's the favorite and they're probably going to win this?
I think the Preds are spicy. I think Durant had a good summation of it last night. 21-7 since the All-Star break. We all talked about the U2 concert pivot and all that stuff, whether causation and correlation and all that stuff. It doesn't. Either way, they've been really good. It generates scoring chances at an elite clip. Totally true. And then their underlyings have gotten a whole lot better since, you know, February or so. It's a dangerous team. They should be taken seriously. I know Canucks fans have been quaking in their boots over this one at times, especially over the last month, because the Canucks are not playing their best hockey at the moment. And the Preds also got the car back on the track, right? Over the last week or two. There was a little mini skid that we hadn't seen from them in a while, but they've finished strong. There's a lot to like about that team. Philip Forsberg, like, very quietly is having, you know, he didn't make it to 50, but he came really, really close. He's having the best season of his career because he's healthy for once. Dangerous team.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this series too. Again, I think the first round of the playoffs is just the best.
I just think the dynamic between the Canucks and the Preds is great. Like because you have Vancouver started so strong and there was so much optimism, and it's wobbled a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you like Quinn Hughes, deserving Norris winner. Lots of good stuff happening there, but like they're not as good now as they were in November or February or whatever.
Like, and maybe they kick it back up in the postseason. And like, how much of an impact did like Demko being out for several weeks have on them too, right? So and Demko's back. He played the other day. So you would assume that's gonna boost them back up. And again, we're not saying that like the Canucks are only good because Demko. It's just Thatcher Demko's very good, right? I think a lot of people have like a complex about the goalie thing, but at the end of the day, the Stars obviously clinch the West, but Vancouver wins the Pacific. They're still one of the top teams in the league. They're fifth in the league in points. Mm-hmm. Even if they were having like a not as great stretch, they're still one of the top teams in the league. So it's going to be interesting to see like if they can put it together in the playoffs, I guess, is essentially what you're saying though, right, Sean?
Yeah, totally. Like I think it's just, like I said, it's compelling because they won their division. They've wobbled down the stretch and now they're facing against like, is it the wrong team at the right time or the yeah. wrong team at the wrong time? Is it like, you know, the hot, the team on the hot streak that, you know, nobody expected to be here. I don't know. There's compelling elements to this that I think are going to turn out to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think there's like, I don't think there was a good team to play against in the Western Conference. Like, nope. Who would you rather play? The Kings? Maybe. Like, maybe that's the answer.
I think that would probably be my answer, but you know.
But other than that, like there aren't really any teams that you'd be like, this is a great first round matchup for me because the like Edmonton probably get like it's, there's games that matter today for the shuffling there, but like the Oilers could end up playing Vegas in the first round, or, you know. Yeah.
Congratulations on all your success. Here's the Vegas Golden Knights. Right. Like, good luck.
Yeah, so that's what's made the West so fun heading into I'm just excited for the first round. I feel bad I keep saying that. I'm just like, this is gonna be so fun. Worth noting too, was just looking through some of like the final stats for, well, they have one more game so it's not final, but Besser, JT Miller, Elias Pettersson all finish with over 30 goals. Brock Besser obviously hit 40 this year. JT Miller 103 points, Quinn Hughes 90. So two guys over 90, and Pettersson could get there. He's at 89 right now. So there's a lot to like about Vancouver this season. Elias Lindholm, you know, can he turn it around in the playoffs? That's going to be a big question. Their blue line as well, but getting Demko back is just massive because in the 50 games he started, he's a just under a 920 goalie, and we know this guy's a gamer. So I think it's going to be a fun series, but like
I'm not betting goaltender.
Mm-hmm. I'm not betting against the Vancouver Canucks. Like I'll say it. I'm so brave.
How courageous.
I know. Isn't that crazy? okay. So we're going to get out of here. I think we've been going for about an hour here. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm sorry that we didn't have like all of the playoff matchups. Otherwise we would have just made this like a full preview show, but I don't want to say that it's going to be Oilers Vegas when it's going to end up being like Dallas Vegas or something. That would just be stupid. That's bad podcasting.
I don't have to apologize.
I'm so sorry. I'm Canadian. I can't help it. But thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Athletic Hockey Show. Just a reminder to leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're enjoying the show. If you hate the show, you should do it anyways. We would love that very much. I don't know if Max has a show tomorrow. I assume there's a Monday show. It'll be fine, everyone. Thank you so much. And we'll be back next week in the middle of the playoffs. And then we can see if any of our playoff previews made any sense at all. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Sean. And thanks, Max, even though he left us early.